Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And then he has what I call Tucker Carlson. It's a gun called the corrosive sludge pump. It's just... Hello, and welcome to the Lore Boys. And today, we may turn some of your blank Matrix lords into clean overclocks. My name is James, and what else do we have here today?
Well, I'll do Ethan first. Ethan is here this time. He's not missed it. Hey, we got him out of the quicksand. He is, however, participating in a Guinness World Record contest to see how long he can hold his breath. So he's currently... on site, but he is, of course, holding his breath. So
yeah,
he's waving at the webcam, which, of course, like for audio listeners, you can't see, but like we'll post a screenshot of him waving on Patreon.
Yep, that's it. And Ethan, I'd advise you to stop waving because anytime you move your body, it demands more oxygen. So
Miss Frizzle taught us that when she got cramps when she was rowing.
Yeah, I also from knowing that too, I would try and hold my breath as long as I could in the pool. But to my parents, it looked like I was just like completely motionless, lying face down in the pool. But no, I'm just trying to do the strat for holding your breath the longest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And hopefully Ethan can beat your record. Did I introduce myself? I've forgotten already. Ethan's holding his breath. My name's Peter O'Donoghue. I'm here. I'm here as well on today's episode of the Lore Boys, Rock and Stone.
Yep. Today we're talking about a game that all three of the Lore Boys play like a bunch, almost weekly, together.
Yeah.
And with a friend of the show, Bobby, who's always our fourth. It's called Deep Rock Galactic.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah. I know it's been requested in the past, too, by a couple of people I know.
Oh, yeah. And, I actually grabbed that. I replied to my own email 19 minutes ago. It was requested by Bison and Fitty, also known as Raw Dog McGraw in the server right now.
Ah, patron request. I see. Excellent. Now we can make up for last week where I was just like, fuck y'all, talking about this dumb book.
Yeah, honestly, as much as I'm happy that we met the request, it was completely by accident. I wrote the episode first and then looked for who requested it afterwards. But I'm happy that we're hitting some of those marks. I also wanted to mention DRG Historian and SNIS on YouTube were a huge help for putting this stuff together, because the lore is not always put in front of you in this game, but
And we've picked up bits. Let me see if I've got Steam closed. I'll see how many hours I have in Deep Rock, which I've like almost exclusively played with you guys. But just while Steam loads here, I do want to welcome our newest patron, Cody Small. So thank you to him.
Welcome, Cody Small. I have 93.6 hours, so I'm coming up on 100. And I'll probably hit it this week because I've been playing a lot again.
83.6 hours. Oh, nice. Sorry, man. I'm still like wet behind the ears.
We're both coming up on 100, so...
That's good.
Yeah, I've also left mine running a couple times, so we're probably closer than we are far apart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. I appreciate the participation award you just gave me there.
So if someone had never played the game or even seen it, how would you describe it?
That's always, because in my head, you always jump to, like, it's like this, but, like, if I were to describe it to, like, a knuckle-dragger like my dad, like, I can't say it's Left 4 Dead, but with bugs.
Yeah, it's Left 4 Dead
Minecraft. Those words mean nothing to him, right?
Yeah, Left 4 Dead Minecraft is what the devs had in mind, so you pretty much nailed it there, yeah.
Yeah, it is it's a four-player co-op game where four dwarves get launched onto an alien planet and have various objectives, whether that be harvesting minerals or finding robots from failed expeditions, or exterminating dangerous wildlife, or my personal favorite, drilling for liquid resources, because the point extraction ones are always like absolutely the best ones.
Right.
Or escorting a automated driller to steal some sort of giant rock, which those suck. Escort missions are still bad.
Yeah. I actually don't mind the escort ones because I find they go by quickly, like when I'm trying to get through like whatever my mission queue is. I'm like, okay, escort, cool, I can bang this out. I just press the button, go, go, go. But
yeah, I don't know, like maybe the four of us are just bad at it, but like because sometimes when like most pub missions you can do and like get through them, but like if you get a cursed escort mission, you guys get just hate fucked within the first like 8 minutes.
Yeah,
it like never even makes it to the first checkpoint.
Yeah, it can be bad.
Yeah,
yeah. So basically nailed it. It's an ARPG where you play as dwarves. Three main aspects of the gameplay: the worlds that you enter are procedurally generated. So even if you enter the same like world twice, it'll be a little bit different. With some exceptions, like deep dives have like set kind of like templates that they are procedurally generated, but you'll get the same level for like 2 or 3 hours at a time or whatever the cooldown is on those things.
Yeah. Yeah. And just as far as what a deep dive is, it's
we'll get
a
into it too, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah. It's yeah. We will. Yeah. So you have to fight off waves of bugs, left for dead style.
Yeah.
And complete like different objectives, which Pete mentioned a bunch. These objectives can be simple as like mining X amount of material, get 250 Morkite, or fight 2 to 3 dreadnought, which are just like bigger boss type bugs, or like the pipelines to mine liquids that Pete mentioned. There's like 4 different classes too, which all feel very different and good in their own way. So there's the gunner, the engineer, the driller, and the scout. Pete, you want to take a shot at the gunner? And to explain what that is.
I am a gunner main. I fulfilled my role because I was very broke at the time, so I was the last person to buy Deep Rock, and the only seat left was for Gunner. Gunner is self-explanatory. He has the biggest guns, but also oddly enough, like the second best utility weapon. So you've got 2 guns, a grenade, and then a utility weapon, basically bound like 1, 2, 3, 4. He has a zipline launcher, so you can set up basically like the staircase chair from Gremlins almost wherever you want, so you can never fall and not get up for the rest of your team if you were all just old ladies. Yeah, he's got a minigun, which is self-explanatory, and then he's got an artillery cannon, which I personally hate, and then he has a guided rocket launcher as his newest weapon, which fucking rules. And then the secondary, he's got a revolver, which I don't personally like very much, and then like a burst fire gun, which I think is bugged, frankly, because it does disgusting amounts of damage, but I do have an overclock for it, which are like randomly generated mods that sometimes have like an upside and a downside, but like mine's, like Jamie was saying, a clean overclock, so it just ruins fools. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. All upside, no downside. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, he also has like a shield generator, so he can create a dome that regenerates people's shields, protects you from projectiles, and also repels every single bug in the game. So like basic tiny bugs or boss level bugs. The Glyphids, I think, is the race of monster. Is what the bugs are called. Every single one can be repelled. So if your buddy goes down, toss a shield on him, it's just like this little igloo, like a dome pops up, and you can res in safety.
Yep. That's very powerful. Yeah.
It's fucking excellent. And there's mods for all these things. If you want my opinion, mod for recharge and size, basically. Bigger dome, faster. The actual amount of time it's up doesn't matter because you need to stay mobile anyway.
Right. Cool thing I learned about the gunner in my research today is the minigun ammo that they're using is actually depleted uranium.
That must be wildly heavy.
Yeah, heavy and fucking dangerous.
He's got some fucking calves on him.
Yeah.
So gunner's the quad god, basically. It's the Mad Max of the of the team.
It's a great starting class too. It's just like kill things real fast and you can get around anywhere you need to with the zip line. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next up is the engineer. You want to try the engineer too? Do you know enough about it? So I haven't played it really anyway.
My engineer is, so your level cap is 25 before you go prestige and start over.
Yeah.
My engineer is below level 10. Like I, because
Okay.
Ethan's an NG main, so like
Yeah. I
I never
can
play him.
try it if you want, but I'm about the same as you, yeah.
It's like self-explanatory. He's the one with the platform gun, right?
Yeah. Platform
Yeah,
gun and
he's
turrets.
got this gun that shoots out like this like riot foam that hardens instantly to create little platforms so you can catch people or create stairs where there were no stairs before.
Yeah.
Otherwise, shotgun, grenade launcher, and then a turret. So it's the Team Fortress engineer. It's the whatever, like every game that's ever had an engineer. It's the dwarf with the hook hand from Overwatch. It's
Yeah.
all those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he has like a taunt grenade too, which could be really useful.
Oh, the decoy. Yeah,
Yeah.
the decoy rules, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, engineer looks really cool. It's one that I want to get to know better. The driller, I actually started playing a lot more in the last few days. And the driller's like main thing is he has like two big drill hands, so he can like either like build you a base really quickly or like drill towards an objective, because you get procedurally generated halls. Sometimes they kind of just suck. They're not direct to where you want to go, and a driller could just drill exactly through the wall like where you're
Yeah.
going. And yeah.
The driller's my silver medal class. I find him to be
Yeah. Same here.
You'll never forget your first, but driller rules.
Yeah, he's got flamethrower or an ice thrower. He's got a pistol or a shotgun, I want to say. I know he has a pistol.
I don't have his second. No, he has two different pistols. One of them's like a regular semi-automatic handgun, and then
Yeah.
the other one is like it looks like a little jet engine and it shoots purple balls of like energy.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Driller's really interesting, and I played with like last night with insanely talented people, like people who have like 250 account level or whatever. Like, so they've been
Oh,
playing.
holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we've been playing 100 hours, and we have like 30 to 40 account level or something like that.
Yeah,
Like,
I'm 30 something.
yeah. So to have 250, like they have hundreds and hundreds of hours, and this driller like just drilled straight down through a C4 in, which just made like an artificial room for where we were doing everything. Basically
Oh,
made
it's the Saddam Hussein thing, like the hatch with
yeah.
the
Then the engineer threw the hatch up and like with the platform, right? And then we just had all the bugs coming through a tunnel where there was two turrets set up. So it was just like a bloodbath. Like nothing could get even close to us.
You guys
And
had a little spider hole, literally.
yeah.
That's
Yeah.
great.
The
Yeah,
engineer
no.
that I was playing with was so good too. I was a scout, and I would go up to minerals and stuff, and before I could call for it, there'd be a platform under my feet, like
Awesome.
instantly. It
Yeah.
was insane, yeah.
Yeah, the driller has the flamethrower, which is my personal favorite weapon.
Yeah.
Then he has the ice gun, which is definitely the best co-op weapon in the game, because the if you freeze an enemy, it reduces their defense by so much. You
It
can basically kill them
shatters.
with two bullets. And then he has what I call Tucker Carlson. It's a gun called the corrosive sludge pump, which just sprays acid on enemies, and it's just like a great dots weapon.
Yep.
It pairs really well with the decoy because it creates like these pools of acid
Yep.
and just like melts bugs,
Yep. They
which is
keep
what Tucker
putting
Carlson does. He melts bugs.
They keep putting out new guns. Like, we just got a new round of guns like in the last little while. And hope we'll probably get more in the future. Season one is like in the middle of season one right now, or near the end, I'm not sure, but they're already teasing season two stuff, which is cool.
Free content, free battle pass, and
Yeah.
then yeah, there's trailers for the new guns, one of which is a crossbow, which looks very fucking cool.
Yep. And the last class is my personal favorite, is the scout. And I started with the scout, and I cannot get off the scout because you have a zip line, which makes you so mobile that like you can be at the highest part of the map and jump and like free fall all the way to the bottom of the map and just zip line at the last second and take no damage. And then if you want to get back up, you can just basically Spider-Man your way back up because you have a zip line. So like playing the scout first, it made it hard to play the other characters because
Yeah.
I just felt like I could be anywhere, and then I felt like basically I had two broken legs with any other character. But
The scout's very much the Just Cause class where you can
yeah.
grapple hook to the ground and somehow not break off both your legs.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
You
What's
feel
the guy's name? Like Rico Torres or something? What's the main guy's name in
I got PS Plus Just Cause 3 and I like never played it. I'm not
Yeah,
sure why.
I watched a friend of mine play it once, and it's like honestly like one of the hardest I've ever laughed at a video game, where he like parachuted out of a speedboat and like stole a pl stole he stole an airplane or something, like the biggest plane on the map, and just immediately crashed it, where he like went off the highway and then it like started like knocking down trees, and then the trees got sucked into the engine and it just blew up. He never got off the runway, but it took him like 45 minutes to get to it.
I love the funny stuff you see of like people putting like bungee cords from a cow to a windmill and just watching the cow just like wong
Yeah.
wong 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 all
Yeah,
around. As far as the scout goes, like that's the biggest thing is the zip line. And then in terms of for your party, you have flares. Everybody, like when you go into this hole and it's dark, everybody can press F and throw like this little lantern that goes on the
you get
ground.
like a glow stick, basically.
But the scout can shoot these things that'll stick into walls. So imagine you have enemies on the ceiling or mineral nodes that are like too high above eye level. You kind of need a scout to be able to point those out to by shooting like the flares on the ceilings. So a lot of utility there. Scout kind of gets the short end of the stick when it comes to people like saying who's the best class, but I really think they add a lot of utility and their guns too. The gun setup, there's you either just get like a straight up assault rifle that it's automatic, cool. You get like one of those bolt action shots that I find just shoots too slow because you're always having like hordes of enemies, so like having to reload every shot is too slow.
For any gun nuts out there, it's based on the M1 Garand, so it's got the bolt, and when you run out of ammo, it's also got the ping, and it shoots out the little slot, which is very satisfying.
I want to like these because I like the big one hits like over and over again, like the Desert Eagles, like bang, 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 like and. But it just doesn't lend to the gameplay, I find. And then
It's good against
there's
bosses because you can charge it up, like if you focus with the M1. Which I think in games it's called like the M1000 or something. You can focus, you get a slight zoom, and it reduces your spread. It like cancels out the bloom of the reticle. And if you hit the weak point on a boss, you can do like 20% of their HP bar or of their armor bar, depending on what phase they're in with a single bullet.
And there's armor shred, like there's like different perks to like go through armor and stuff too. So
Yeah.
you can build towards it. I prefer to use the third gun, which is the plasma rifle. And there's like a thousand something bullets, like 1,100 bullets almost. And you can just shoot it until you overheat. So like the strat is you like shoot till you're almost overheating, switch to your secondary, dump a clip, reload, then switch to back, and you're already reloaded and like you're already not heated up on the first clip. So.
Yeah, his secondary is like twin SMGs, and you get like a movement speed boost when if you empty the clip. So it's like even better to just like lay on the trigger, empty the clip on both of them, and then switch, and then your primary is cooled off, and you've still got your speed boost. So.
There's a clip, and there's also a mod that the longer you hold down the trigger for your secondary, the faster it goes too.
Yeah.
So you just like really dump a clip real quick. And then there's also a shotgun, and I feel like there's one. No,
Yeah, there's a double barrel shotgun that none of us use because it sucks fucking dick. That's why
I don't
it's
mind it.
terrible.
I don't mind it. Like, especially when you got like a bunch of little critters, like it'll blow up a huge. And I have a clean overclock for it, so maybe that's why I like it. But anyways, those are the four classes. All of them are a lot of fun. You can do a lot with any of them, and they like if you have one of each when you're playing, you really see that they all shine at something.
They're very, very, very balanced together. Like, even if you're doing like a pub game where someone's doubled up, or if you're only like two, three guys, you can tell when someone's missed.
You miss them,
Yeah.
like oh, we could have used a driller here to get through this wall, or we needed an engineer to get like that platform because now the scout can't, like if there's a mineral deposit really high in the air, the scout or the engineer can ping at it, and then the engineer shoots a platform, and the scout will use the zip line to get up. So the zip line and the engineer's platform work really well together. Because one of the on the hardest difficulties, it's not only about how good you are at killing things, it's how fast you are at clearing the levels, because you'll get new swarms of enemies, and the thing that's limited is ammo. So the ability to be able to get that nitro that's like way
That's
up,
true, yeah.
the ability to get that stuff quickly and move on quickly is is very useful because it means conserving ammo and also getting more resources for ammo, right?
You have to mine for a specific rock called Nitra within a level, and there is a limited amount in the level. And then you can use that to buy ammunition.
Yeah.
And once you're out of Nitra, and once you're out of ammunition, that's it.
Yeah. And if you're getting swarms every 3-4 minutes, like, if you're not moving on quick enough, that's just a constant drain to your ammo and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Time is money.
Time is money, friend.
Clearly, DRG, Deep Rock, is non-union, because otherwise it's just like, well, no, we got to use up all the Nitra, or else they're not going to give us as much next year.
Yeah, so those are all the classes, and the more you play them, the more guns and utilities you unlock, like we kind of mentioned. I mentioned there's like a prestige, so at level 25, you promote your class. This means you keep all your guns and upgrades, but you just start from level 1, you get a shiny star.
You don't fucking lose anything when you go prestige on your class. You get an extra perk slot for like a passive, but you do not lose your guns. You do not lose anything at all. I think it's just like a treadmill system more than anything.
And then you also unlock deep dives after your first promotion. So that's like what Pete was mentioning earlier. It's 3 consecutive levels with no breaks and shared ammo through all 3 missions. So if you run out of that Nitra, and you get to the second or third mission, you're kind of fucked.
They kick ass. It normally takes us about like 90 minutes for one of them.
Yeah, it's about 90 minutes. There's an achievement for doing it under 45 minutes.
No fucking way.
Last night I got under an hour with those like uber like crazy guys for level 250. Just because they were like plowing through stuff. I slowed them down, like, no doubt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was like, they did that strat where they like I told you earlier, where they just made like a spider hole, and I was like, this is a really cool strat. And they're like, yeah, we play this game a lot. But
you're just like, I play this once a week and I'm always drunk, so I'm not that good. I'm not that good at it.
But deep dives is like your end game. It gives you matrix cores and overclocks. So matrix cores are things that if you get a blank matrix core, there's things where you can redeem it. It's basically like a carnival ticket that if you find a certain thing in the wild, you can turn it into like a cosmetic or an overclock. Or
never go with the cosmetics, always go with the overclocks. Is Loreboy's advice, TM.
Yeah, that'll make you more powerful for sure. And so if you do a deep dive, you get 3, and it's usually like 1 blank matrix core, which means it's a carnival ticket for elsewhere. You get 1 overclock and then 1 cosmetic.
And you also get a fuck ton of money.
Yes.
The deep dives, you get a ton of credits.
Yeah. And then there's credits. Then there's different types of stones, all which you need for unlocking cosmetics or unlocking gut upgrades or buying beer. Beer will give you different upgrades and stuff too. The end game is collecting overclocks for your weapons and making your dwarf look as stylish as possible.
I've got some very good cosmetics for the gunner. I'm very happy with the way he looks, and I know Ethan and I both use the like McDonald's Playhouse skin for the driller. It's like bright yellow with red highlights.
Yeah, that's fun. I was looking up the
And I have the toothpaste scout too, like bright teal,
right? I think I was able to make a couple good cosplays. I had a pretty recognizable Shrek Dr. Robotnik I had for a while.
Yeah.
And you can't handle Bobby my has Neutron a really style. Good...
Jimmy Bobby Neutron. Has a really good overweight Rambo as well.
Yes, overweight Rambo. There's only a limited number of overclocks. I thought they were procedurally generated, but there's like 160 or something like that. So you can collect them all.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And yeah. Same I know, goes I know, for cosmetics, of course.
Yeah, well, the cosmetics keep getting updated. Like the season pass has a bunch of free ones. I know Ethan's been like hardcore in the achievement hunting, so don't tell him that there's a limited amount of overclocks, because we're never going to talk to him again. If so, it's going to be like balls deep.
I'm sure they're going to. By the time we get all of them, they'll release more. They're so good about putting stuff out and for free. Yeah. So that's kind of gameplay wise. That's where we're at. So lore wise, what do we know so far? It's not super obvious what the lore is. So Deep Rock Galactic, the name of the game is the name of a space mining corporation. Yeah. and it prides itself on having obtained practical dominance over the most lucrative belts of the Outer Rim. And they call their competitors foolish and cowardly because they think these systems that we're mining in are too volatile or high risk.
I mean, for that would make sense because it's like it's such a funny just like corporation with no regard for the worker. Like yeah. they will threaten to leave you behind at the end of a mission.
Yeah.
And you can fight corporate enemy units, but yeah. other corporations are much more sensible and they send robots.
Yeah. And those are this is part of the lore for like season one. They just released like there's other another entity coming into our like area or whatever.
Yeah. 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 So trying to muscle in on our turf. They're trying to take our corner where we're selling ice. Okay. Yeah. That's where I'm doing it.
Yeah. They're not even mining.
I've seen The Wire.
They're not even mining at this point, too. They're just watching dwarves, like, how they're mining. Like, how do these little guys do it?
Yeah.
So at this time, Deep Rock has 87 orbital space rigs in operation through more than a dozen Outer Rim systems. And 16 more currently in construction. We are on Space Rig 17.
Okay, yeah, that would make 348 total employees, because every rig is four guys, and it's basically like a frat dorm.
It's kind of true, huh?
Pretty much, yeah. You've all got your room with your name on it.
Yeah.
There's a restaurant that serves booze and presumably food, medicine. Yeah. There's
a med bay.
Supposed to be. Yeah, there's a med bay.
Yeah.
Free healthcare too. There's no penalties for wiping.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if it's like canon. You're just a different person when you wake up. Like they let you die and they just refill you because you're so like disposable or whatever.
Or I wonder if it's like Moon, where you're just like a clone and you have no memories of being killed.
Right. That could be. We're gonna get into Carl later, and one of the theories about Carl is he is the progenitor of all the dwarves that we come across. So
would understand why it sounds like they all have one voice actor that's just been pitch shifted to sound slightly different for the four characters.
The art director is the mission control guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got such a great voice.
Yeah, tall. I think Danish guy. They're all in Copenhagen, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. We should reach out to them.
Yep.
European devs love talking to me on Twitter.
Yeah, so the space rig that we are on top of is like in the orbit of Hoxes 4, Hoxes IV. And to the best of our knowledge, it's the most dangerous planet in the galaxy, but it also has the most minerals and mineable minerals that we've ever discovered. So risk reward kind of thing.
Yeah. Like we need men to mine mineable minerals. We need men to mine mineable minerals, and we need men for.
Yep, and it's pretty clear that we're in late-stage capitalism, as you mentioned, because dwarf lives don't mean much.
Nope, they do not. No. the drop pod's leaving in 5 minutes, with or without you.
Yep. And that's the exact line, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's just like, come on, team. The drop pod's leaving in 3 minutes, with or without you. Yeah. And like a lot of the times in harder missions when things go pear-shaped, we will just leave people behind, mainly Bobby, because he's very good throughout most of the round. And then for some reason, like he looked a fortune teller in the eye once and she's cursed him, he always goes down on the way out.
Yeah, as long as one of you make it out, you all get the rewards. At least that's okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is a propaganda all around the ship, and like there's like posters that say no dwarf left behind, which like no, like dwarves definitely get left behind all the fucking time.
Yeah, I mean you have to do it.
It for sure happens in the canon. I think Carl, it's theorized that he was left behind. He's like a legendary dwarf in the canon.
But there's also, like, a mission type that is explicitly based around a different team that was completely slaughtered, and you have to go, like, pick up their basically mules. Pick up what they left behind, yeah.
Yeah, you pick up their mules, which is, like, what you dump your minerals in. It used to be a donkey in the old version of the game, which we'll touch on later.
Oh, really? So, like, yeah, because there's a line in the game where the dwarf is like, "My dad said that we used to use real donkeys down here,"
Yeah,
and it's but
exactly.
now it's like this like four-legged little robot with like these little like it basically like buckets that open up on the side. You just like dump all your shit inside of it.
It sounds like kind of like an RTD2 or something like that. It just makes like whirring and whizzing noises, and then and you call it Molly. It's
Her name's Molly,
Molly.
yeah.
Yeah.
Molly! Where's that damn mule?
Yeah.
We're gonna be like so in our own shit for this episode, like inside jokes, inside jokes, inside jokes. This is gonna be impenetrable for a new listener.
If anyone plays the game for like even half an hour, they'll
Yeah.
understand though.
And you should. It's honestly my favorite co-op game in a long time. I know, like, I don't know where I got Payday 2, and that's supposed to be great as well. We have not played that yet, but it's top tier. Like, chef's kiss.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, like we were mentioning, like developers of Deep Rock, Ghost Ship Games, they've been consistently updating the game for no additional cost to the player. It came out in 2018 as early access. They even just put out a battle pass not long ago, called Season 1 Rival Incursion. And there's no option to buy cosmetics. There's no skip this tier for $2.99. There's like all that stuff that is so easy for devs to do because people will pay for it. They didn't do, which is. That's a breath of fresh air in 2022, where
These
games,
manipulative savages expect you to play the video game is the problem.
it's
That's where you get all the
crazy,
cur that's where you get all the currency.
and they'll keep playing, and they'll keep updating it for no additional cost. They just accept that other people will buy their game like continually, and you should. Loreboy's stamp of approval. These are the type of companies you want to give money because they'll just continue to give us good games and continue to support stuff for essentially free.
I can't wait till we start shipping out the seal of approval. I'd love to see it on on like a game box as a joke. I wonder if we could get Deck 13 to do it. I'll ask them. It's like, can I send you a stamp?
Yeah, so speaking of Season 1, Rival Incursion, they added another element, which we kind of mentioned a little bit earlier. You'll run into like hacking machines and like robots, which are called prospectors, which are just like drones that are surveying the planet kind of thing.
Well, they're collecting minerals because when you blow them up, they're full of resources.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so they
Yeah.
must be, yeah. So.
And also a prospector so not to be not to be a gold rush nerd or anything like that. But a surveyor goes out first to tell you like what's in the rocks, basically take samples and shit. And then a prospector is like the guy who he's like screaming at the back of an old timey bar saying that there's gold in them hills. Like
All
he's the
right.
guy who does the digging, which is why I made the joke earlier where it's just like, oh no, like our rivals are sane. They send robots to the spider infested monster planet. Whereas we're still using like, we're not using donkeys anymore, but like we're using like live dwarves.
Right. Or was joking around, or like not joking around, sorry, I was like looking into the Reddit stuff, and they were joking around about like what if the dwarves were the first ones, or like their greed sent them to space to be looking up stuff, and there's other like Middle Earth fantasy type races that like maybe it's the elves who sent the prospectors, and like
I
the
want.
orcs are on some other planet, and like
Do they talk shit about elves at any point?
I not that I remember, and I didn't it didn't
There's
come
like,
up at all today.
yeah, there's like hundreds of little like quips, basically like that. Like anytime you do something, there's a chance your character will say a line, and yeah, I don't know if they ever mention any other races
I
other
not
than the
that I
live
saw.
donkeys. Yeah.
Donkeys, yeah. So just dwarves and donkeys all the way down. Yeah, so all of this info so far has been about the current iteration of the game. We'll get back into Carl a little bit later. But first, I want to go into, like I'd like to do, is the history of where the devs came from and like how they kind of built up to what we know today as Deep Rock Galactic. But first, I think it's a great time for a little break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back from the break. So we have covered Deep Rock Galactic, what it is, what the lore is, kind of how cool the devs are. So to see how cool those devs were, let's see where they came from. All right.
Denmark.
Right. That's right. And they were at a different company called Press Play before then. That was also in Denmark.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of them?
Nope, I'm launching Firefox right now.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of their biggest games, but I didn't know them either. They were eventually bought out by Microsoft and then also shut down by Microsoft.
Cool, thanks, Microsoft. I'm looking at their their filmography, basically, on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Fate, closed by Microsoft Studios, acquired by Flashbulb Games in 2016. They made 5 games that I have never fucking heard of in my life.
Yeah. We'll touch a little bit on them. Of the 6 major guys at Ghost Ship that made Deep Rock, like, their heart and soul, 5 of them came from Press Play.
Okay.
Yeah. So when this shut down, they're like, let's just do our own thing kind of thing. But to lead up to that, there was a few games with interesting mechanics. Press Play was founded in 2006. And then acquired in 2012, and I think it was shut down in 2016.
Yeah, I just closed Wikipedia. It is 2016. Rip, yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Went down with Hillary Clinton, as they always intended.
Yeah.
Those Danes.
Yeah. Let's press play, Pokemon Go out to the polls. Yeah. 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 In 2010, they made Max and the Magic Marker.
Okay.
So this game almost looked like a Flash game. It's like a 2D platformer where you play as like this little kid with blonde hair who goes across and you run into puzzles. And how do you solve the puzzles? You have a magic marker. So you draw your own path. You can draw stairs, draw a ramp for a little car, draw a bridge across or whatever it is. I honestly really like those types of games.
Did you ever play Scribblenauts? I think that's the word one, where you solve puzzles with words.
Okay, I didn't play Scribblenauts, but I played another game where you have to like draw lines, and it was a Flash game, and it was like a bridge constructor game or something.
Yeah.
And
I know there's also like Line Rider, where you like have a guy on a toboggan go down a trail that you basically draw out as well.
I've recently watched a very impressive Line Rider like music video.
Cool, still going.
Yeah, it is still going. Fantastic Contraption was another game where you had to draw all the lines and connect them to different things. So like there'd be a motor and then you could draw a line to it so that it would like make the line spin and then it would connect to something else and you could make like a machine that would climb up a hill or something like that.
Also, gift from the guy, one of the guys who suggested this, from Raw Dog McGraw, Bad Rats.
That shitty game that I played before they give you like a fridge, a trampoline, and a brick. And now figure out how to do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. And a 2x4, yeah. So yeah, they made that. The game was pretty fun, but pretty basic. 2010, nothing crazy. It didn't really, I think it was for the Wii. It didn't really take off or anything.
I mean, they had a lot of shovelware on that. I remember when I was working at GameStop, the Wii section was like the company would tell you, like, put it at the back, basically. So like the store that I worked at in Toronto had like a big kind of cube area with a little tail. So it was kind of like a chalice shape, I guess. And in the back, in the like stem of the store is where we kept all the Wii stuff because it was just fucking shovelware. Like there's honestly, so much, like yeah. As far as the eye could see.
Yeah, the game. Yeah, like the game probably would have been cool for like an hour or two, but it's not. It's not really starting anything crazy. 2012, similar. Like I think it was for the Wii. I can't remember. It might have been mobile. It was called Tentacles Enter the Dolphin.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
this one's for Saucy.
I was going to say, I'm just going to go on to xvideos.ru and check out what this game's about.
And basically, you're like what looks like an amoeba or something, and as you move, your tentacles kind of like grab onto the stuff around you, like kind of like Carrion.
Yeah, Carrion looks really cool. It's on Game Pass. I've been meaning to play it. I like that procedural animation, like the physics-driven animation.
Yeah.
There's other game called like Rain World or like Rainland or something where you play as like a caterpillar cat.
Okay.
That's also procedurally animated. He's like a little, like a cat slug or something. You have to solve puzzles. It looks very cute.
That's cool. That's cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did this in 2012, Enter the Dolphin, and you play as like an organism that is inside of a dolphin, and you're a microbe with tentacles. So you're trying to, I guess, destroy the dolphin from within.
Okay.
Someone I was watching, I think it was DRG Historian, tried to play it, but it was so old they couldn't get it to launch properly or something. So
okay. Yeah. Pick up Enter the Dolphin when it inevitably comes to GOG, God willing.
If you look up Press Play Tentacles, there's a mobile game you can play that is apparently slightly challenging, but then also like really boring after a while.
Just search that. Turn off your safe search. Don't worry about it. Use the family computer.
Yep. Tentacles Enter the Dolphin. 2013, after they were acquired by Microsoft, Microsoft's like, let's get you an Xbox game. You've been making Wii games for too long.
And yeah, time to man up, sunshine.
So they made Max, The Curse of the Brotherhood. It's like a sequel to the other Max game with the marker. But it's honestly, to me, it looked better. And it was a platformer. It was like 3D instead of just like Paper Mario.
Okay, yeah.
But the gameplay was less unique because before you had like puzzles and you could draw your way through them. So there's like more than one way to solve the puzzle. But now your marker just like moves a platform from the left to the right or makes a platform go up from the down or like it looked really boring to me.
That's so weird. Like the wand mechanic would work so much better on the Wii.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't like some kind of Kinect shit, was it? Where you have to like use your hands.
Yeah, it didn't seem that way. It didn't seem that way, but I guess they like you couldn't draw as well on an Xbox controller as you could as like a wand with a Wii.
No, I mean you can't do. For Christ's sake! I mean, have you ever tried to shoot someone with a controller like in Halo? It's so slow. It's, of course, you can't draw.
Yeah, yeah. So that part sucked. But and then 2015 they had Kalimba. It's like a platformer where you move two objects at the same time. The little bit of gameplay I saw, like, so it's if you move one, the other one moves in the exact same way. So it kind of makes some interesting puzzles where if you have two platforms, like a high road and a low road, you have your purple one up top and your green one on the bottom. Sometimes the green one has to jump, but the purple one doesn't, or the purple one has to jump, but the green one doesn't. So you have to like coordinate your movements so it makes sense for both characters so they land on top of each other at the end of the level. If that makes sense.
There's a similar game that I like a lot called The Swapper, where you'd see exact same premise, but you use this like device to create clones of yourself, and your clones move in tandem. You have to solve puzzles by creating multiple copies of your own body.
Yeah. There's a bunch of games like that do that too. There's I think an old Zelda game, like not Link to the Past, but one of the ones on Game Boy, they had a dungeon that did that. There was
I think I've mentioned this before, not to fake gamer myself or anything. I have never finished a Zelda game in my entire life. I have played the beginning of like three of them. I have played Link to the Past on an emulator. I played Ocarina and I played Twilight Princess.
Okay,
that's it. Okay. Oh no, I played Wind Waker. I got to the island that you get shot out of a cannon onto in Wind Waker.
Nice. I've played a lot of them.
That's it. But I know there's like the Oracle of Seasons and the Oracle of Time or some shit on Game Boy Advance, and I think those ones you were supposed to like co-op with. So that would be my guess for the ones with like the.
To me, it was
clone
the
puzzle.
I didn't have that one. The clone puzzle was. It could be in that one too, but it was
completely ignorant guess. Yeah,
it was a black cartridge on Game Boy Color, and I might as well just look it up while we're here. Zelda black cartridge GBC.
Ethan's still holding his breath going strong.
Yeah.
I'm glad he didn't break to correct me, which is nice.
He's kind of turning blue. Link's Awakening. Link's Awakening is the one I played. I think he was in that one, but...
Okay.
Some Nintendo guy can tell me I'm wrong. Yeah, they made like
Please
some... After that, they made some like vehicle sandbox game that was kind of garbage looking, but I don't think ever came out. And... But... Most importantly to this episode is their last project at Press Play, Project Dwarka. So Dwarka is a city in India. And if you Google Dwarka, all you get is a city in India. Project Dwarka barely gave me any results either. But if you look up the video by DRG Historian called like the... Let me see. When I type in... This,
because you sent me a screenshot from a YouTube video, clearly.
Yeah.
Which looks like recognizable. I guessed it when you sent it to the boys chat, but this looks
bad.
Off.
Compared to what it was, like that was like 2016 version of the game when they were just trying to figure out like how to make the game basically,
right.
So if you guys want to check out more on that, you can see Deep Rock Galactic's Hidden History, Project Dwarka by DRG Historian. He went through all the old vlog posts from the YouTube channel of Press Play, and he kind of compiled it together and how the game grew. He did a really good job with that. But yeah, at first, it honestly looks like a PS1 game.
It does. It looks awful.
It looks really, really bad.
But as a tech demo, it's probably quite impressive because it's like... recognizably still the same product, so clearly whatever idea they had,
yeah,
they already knew what they were doing, but it does look fucking rough actually.
Yeah, that was before the devs even left Press Play. Some of the game's mechanics were different. The win conditions for the levels, like you had to collect enough gold to activate the elevator out of the mines, like you put it like Indiana Jones style on a button. And like the it looked a lot more like Minecraft. The gold was like literally cubes, not the nice little like nuggets that we get today in game.
Yeah, the nice little like kind of
globules,
little vein that you see there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a gold vein out of the Mars bar.
Yeah, the procedural generation wasn't as advanced as it is in Deep Rock, too. Like, the graphics are much worse, like we said. They had four classes, like we did. So we have the driller, the gunner, the engineer, and not the scout, but we have the demolitionist.
Oh, yeah, but that kind of ended up as the driller now anyway. Yeah. He's got the... So basically in this game, I love how like you can throw a grenade or like a fucking twin-bladed battle axe like 40 feet in front of you, but the C4 charge, you can not throw it and detonate it immediately because you will just fucking kill yourself. Like you can toss it like 6 inches in front of your face, basically.
Yeah, so they did kind of take like some of the best of what the demolitionist was, put it into the driller, and like later on in development, they wanted to have more scarcity because early in the games, like lighting and ammo, it was like just so easy to get. There was no challenge. So part of that was adding the scout, whose role was, okay, you help with the lighting because lighting is scarce. So that's more your role. But
yeah. And like even on regular missions, like sometimes we'll just like run out of ammo, especially me, without even noticing. And it's just like, is there any way to reload this gun? And it might be 5 minutes before you find any way to order more ammo.
Yeah. So that's part of the challenge. Some cool differences from the original version. The gunner had a Gatling bow. So it was like, it would spin around, but it would shoot arrows instead.
Cool.
Yeah.
I guess because they had dwarves, it was more fantasy based because to be honest, the fact that it's dwarves,
yeah,
is completely like circumstantial. You could swap them out for fucking anything, and the game would be exactly the same, because like guys on an alien planet mining for gold, shooting alien spiders. Being dwarves has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, I guess the lots of drinking, the pickaxe, and the mining side of stuff is dwarfy, but the Left 4 Dead side of stuff is so like it could be anyone.
Yeah, but also it could just be like, again, just like four human dudes on a space station also drinking and mining for resources, right? True. Like,
yeah, I can't think of any other space dwarves in. Someone will tell me that there's definitely space dwarves out there, but I haven't played any.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Not that I could think of.
I was trying to think, like, maybe in Mass Effect, because it came from, like, BioWare, who did a bunch of, like, D&D shit. Maybe they had, like... But I'm trying to think of the dwarf analog in Mass Effect. I can't think of it.
There's probably stuff in, like, Elder Scrolls where, like, Dwemer go to, like, alternate universes and stuff like that.
Yeah, but if you're not too completely tangent, the Dwemer in Elder Scrolls, it's like a slur, basically, because they're the same height as regular people.
Right, okay.
Yeah. They just happen to live underground and then, you know, left existence when they tried to build God. Right. they're referred to as dwarves, but the Dwemer themselves are straight up elves. Okay. They're like dark elves. They have gray skin.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That rings a bell now that you say it. Actually.
Yeah, we did that years and years ago, but I love that shit.
Yeah.
Got to go to Tharkand, baby, or whatever.
The engineer had traps, like more like kind of what are those things?
Like a bear trap?
No, like where it's kind of like a
claymore.
It kind of like a claymore, except it's just sticks, and it like they hit it and it slows them down.
Yeah. It's a okay. Well, that's like either caltrops, which are like caltrops, the jacks that you throw on the ground, or it's a tiger pit, which is where you've got the net with the leaves on it.
It looks like neither. It's like a horizontal, like just a bunch of sticks like this, like crisscrossed. It's kind of more like caltrops, I guess.
It looks like. How big are they?
Half a knee high, like halfway to your knee.
It's kind of like a small, I think it's called like a tank trap or something. They had them, it's like the big, again, they do look like jacks. You can see them now in the news because of course the war, but like at the beginning of Saving Private Ryan, they've got like the big crisscrossy things on the beach. I think it's called a tank trap.
So those
Tom Hanks trap. Anagram for tank trap is Tom Hanks trap.
That's when you try and get your dad and Wilson married and switched off or something, or no, I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly. Tom Hanks is twin brother.
Yeah.
Right. It's trying to get his parents remarried during the invasion of Normandy on D-Day.
I'd watch that.
Fuck yeah, I would.
There's also a hand cannon, which is not like a hand cannon like you would get in a normal gun game today. It was a literal like cannon with cannon
balls. Like a naval cannon?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, the demolitionist had that. So like
bring it back, dude. I'm gonna petition these guys. That sounds fucking great.
Yeah. Agreed. And as they developed the game, it became more and more like Deep Rock Galactic we know today. It still wasn't there yet, though, when they canceled the whole studio in 2016. Microsoft didn't only shut down Press Play, but they shut down Lionhead, who was working on Fable Legends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, quick aside.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Fable.
I know it was Fable.
It was like my buddy Logan had like the Crystal Xbox.
Yeah.
And every time I went over, he was playing Fable. Or we would play Crimson Skies, which we never finished because it was too fucking hard.
I just saw the name Fable here, and I have it on Steam, and I almost re-downloaded it. Like, I was thinking about playing through it again. Ethan, actually, when we were just starting to become friends, he lent me that game, and I played all the way through it. And
I've never finished the first one, but I played 2 and 3. I liked Fable 2 a lot, personally. Yeah.
I think I played two of them. I can't remember which two.
But I never got into the I could never get into the first one. I was like too young and also like was not playing video games in the early 2000s, right? Like I bought my 360 in whatever, 2007, 2008 or something. And like that's when I actually got like independently video gamed.
Yeah.
otherwise, it was like if I went to my neighbor's place or anybody else and they were playing Fable, it's like, yeah, okay, like, oh, Jack of Blades, woo.
I wish Ethan was here so he could do his impression of the villagers saying chicken chaser. Well, he is here, but he can't say it because I don't want.
Oh, we don't
want
to fuck up his. We don't want to fuck up his marathon, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
He is face down right now, which I hope is a strategy more than anything.
Yeah. Oh, he just lifted his. He raised his hand like he had a question, but he's just letting us know he's okay.
Okay. Beautiful. Yeah,
good.
Beautiful.
Good.
See any pies out there, pie master, or whatever?
Hey there, chicken chaser!
But it's just like, ah, yes, the future, if it was ruled by chavs. Yeah. It's thousands of years of the medieval period.
Yep. So, like I said earlier, most of the leaders of Ghost Ship Games came from Press Play, and they got straight to work on Dwarka in their own game. They started Ghost Ship Studios, and they're like, we need to get to market, like, quickly, or else we're just going to be another failed game studio.
Yeah.
So they're like, let's make the game called Deep Rock Galactic. They changed the lore around a little bit. It went early access in 2018 because they need cash flow for the new studio. And they also liked the transparency they got from the players. And they're really good at listening to the players and taking feedback into the dev cycle. So
we should do a crowdfunding thing now. It's just we'll start a Kickstarter. And yep. It's just like... $30,000, and we'll bring Ethan back. Loreboys 1.0 will have three hosts.
We'll get early access Ethan.
He doesn't have hair. He's just, doesn't speak English properly. It's like, yeah, we're working out the kinks.
After we lost him in a holding your breath accident, we brought back early access Ethan.
Exactly. Out of like some kind of vat.
Yeah, so they ended up making a trailer to get more players' eyes on the game. And I watched the trailer, and it looks like maybe like early Xbox graphics. It's really nothing like what it looks like today.
It's very stylized now, which is gonna, it's one of those games. It's like Team Fortress or like Borderlands, where it's gonna just look good forever.
Yeah.
Because it's just carried by its art style.
Yeah. Yeah. And but the thing is, the first trailer they were going to put out, they didn't end up putting out because they had a huge breakthrough on the tech side, like right as they finished the trailer, and procedural generation became much easier to do, and the graphics jumped from like OG Xbox more to like lighter side modern PC games. Like it kind of looked more like Team Fortress or something like that. Like
yeah,
it wasn't perfect yet, but it was much much better. So they redid the trailer shot for shot. We're like, we fixed our engine. Let's redo the trailer. Yeah, and
that's good. I mean, the art style is very good, very cool. Like nothing is smooth. Everything's got these little like tiny little, I guess like stained glass. Everything's got like tiny little triangles in it.
Right. Yeah. Lots of polygons. Yeah. The game we have now is like really well polished and consistently updated. Can't say it enough. Game take really good care of their players. They don't charge us more for like battle passes and everything. Like I think
we only had that one bug in our deep dive where Ethan put a platform above you and just launched you through the ground, which we've definitely talked about before.
Yeah, we did. Ethan, it was on a premium episode. We talked about it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I guess, well, now that it's relevant, like, everything is measured in meters.
Yeah.
And, like, generally, your objective is rarely, like, further away than a kilometer. And then Jamie's character got, like, clipped through the ground completely by accident.
Yeah.
And by the time we realized, if you hold control, you can see where your allies are. And Jamie, after, like, 2 or 3 seconds, was, like, 800 meters below ground, just like cascading into nothingness.
On like the last few minutes of a deep dive too. So
I thought
the last 90 minutes of my life would have been all wasted. I was gonna get none of my cool internet points because Ethan glitched me through the ground. So
yeah.
Everybody's laughing and I'm laughing too, and I'm kind of like, all right, I better get my gold though.
Yeah. A little salty, eh?
Yeah. Because I'm always like the careful one. I see you said this in the premium, but I'm like the careful one. I'm like, guys, let's not call the upgrades. Like, let's use all our secondary ammo, and then we'll call for the primary ammo.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
But yeah, then I'm the one who gets shot through the ground.
Get out of here, nerd! you're like the teacher in the Twisted Sister music videos, basically.
Yeah.
It's just like the stick in the mud trying to ruin our fun.
Yeah. Exactly. So the game we have now is really well polished, consistently updated. The devs take really good care, like I said, and there's just, like, no extra charges. There's, like, no reason not to buy this game.
It's on Game Pass, too, as far as I know. But if you don't have Game Pass, you'd absolutely... If you like co-op and have... Honestly, pubbing is fine. But, like, if you got three people to play with, the shit... It is so fucking tight. It's so good.
Yeah. I was thinking of making this a one-parter, but I still have so much to talk about Carl that I think I want to make my next episode a deep dive on who Carl is. And deep dive, I can really say this time. Yeah. So for now, I think that's been Deep Rock, but I definitely want to bring you more because I have some prepared and I can go even more granular into who Carl is. So
yeah, we could get even diver into this or whatever the expression is.
So we know, what do we know about Carl? We can tease it a little bit that he's brought up all the time. He's a legendary dwarf. He's in multiple voice lines. He's hidden in multiple things like beer description, stuff like that. And there's probably about six or seven theories as to who he is. And I was only going to go over one theory today, but I think we can give him full justice for his life probably lost for a capitalist company.
And, can you whet my whistle? Can you tease what the next Deep Rock adventure? What's our next deep dive going to be?
Our next deep dive, we're going to talk about Carl. We're going to talk about who is Carl? Where is Carl? How did Carl end up there? What was Carl to our folks today here? What are guys like? What's he gonna be going forward? There's a lot about Carl. Carl is like, he was brought up in the second vlog of Ghost Ship about the game, and they even talk about why they added him into the game and stuff like that. So we can talk about some of the vlogs, talk about Carl, and this will also give me more time to watch all the vlogs myself too and become an ultra expert on Carl himself.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, we did have a bit of a long weekend, so...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Pete, so if I wanted to find you on the internet, where would I find you?
You can find me at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram. Check me out there. Check out my comic publisher, at Squared Idea. We're going to be at Comic-Con in July. I can't remember the dates, but it's the first week. It's like the 7th to the 10th or some shit.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, that's about it. And of course, loreboys.com/about to check in Z for the link to Discord. That is the best place to do it because it is on my phone. It's on my PC. I at least lurk every single day of the week. So yeah, if you want to come and hang out, request things, post memes.
Nice.
Bully other people, please. that'd be great. Not enough conflict on the server. People get along too well. Fox me up.
No, let's keep getting along. It's Friday, July 8th to Sunday, July 10th. We don't know which days we'll be there, if not all, but stay tuned for that. It's going to be that weekend.
I'll almost certainly be there all 3 days, but as far as Ethan and Jamie go, we'll see. We have a shared table. At least that's what's been offered to me for both Squared and the lads here. So.
And once, I'm sure we'll make sure that at least one of the days all three of us are there. So we'll let you know which day all three of us are there. Because I know Ethan lives not in the city. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, if you want to find me on the internet, get in that Discord. Go to loreboys.com/about. We're chatting all the time. Someone sent a picture of their bookshelf today. And I changed it in paint to make it look like they had Lore Boys nudes. I pranked them very good.
So if you'd like Jamie to prank you, head on over to loreboys.com/about or the description of this episode. Also, if you want to support the show financially, you can become one of our growing team of patrons over on patreon.com/theloreboys. You can buy some merch, tpublic.com/theloreboys. We have a new merch thing coming soon that I can't talk about yet. Yeah, that's about it. Also, of course, we have Loreboys Prime.
Yep.
Now, Ethan normally covers this, but obviously he's been holding his breath this entire time, and I don't know, some of his brain cells are dying, so he probably has like some sort of crackpot idea. But
it's amazing he's able to drink water. Someone's pouring water in through his nose right now. Ariane's doing it, and he's swallowing it. That's amazing. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's like the bagpipe players, you know, who can inhale through their nose the whole time.
And circular breathing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if you wanted to join Lore Boys Premium, we will, or Prime, we need some volunteers. We do want to take some people and send them to the middle of Montreal Comic Con to get all of the nuggets and things off of the nerds.
Do we ever have a fucking suicide mission for you? You think mining for gold on an alien planet is going to be is dangerous?
Yep. So make sure to check those backs underneath the armpits, all those good places where the stuff's growing, and we need you to collect that and bring that back to us. And if you do not make it back to the Lore Boys stand in time, unfortunately, we'll have to leave without you.
We're going to fold our table up and just haul it out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a backpack full of merch.
Yeah. Well, I think that constitutes a Lore Boys.
Hey, Lore Boys.
Out.
We all make mistakes in the heat of passion, Jimbo.
Have you ever looked at the animation for that? It looks worse than Project Dorkta or whatever.
I've never seen a full episode of the show. I've seen the movie and I've seen clips. And then obviously I've seen The Pizza is Aggressive. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.